Welcome back to The Roundtable. I'm Katie Britton. In 2010, Ali Condie captivated readers with her New York Times best-selling dystopian novel Matched, the first in a trilogy. In it, her characters Kasha, Xander, and Kai discover their highly controlling society isn't what it proclaims to be and begin their search for freedom and love. Condie's second novel, Crossed, brought us to the outskirts of the society as Kasha and Kai search for each other and the rebellion in hopes of finally being together and getting the answers to their many questions. And now the third and final book, Reached, has arrived. We finally get the answers to the questions that have been building during the previous novels and see how Kasha, Kai, and Xander have grown. I spoke with Ali Condie about Reached and whether or not it's a bittersweet ending.
It does feel good to have the series finished in that it's nice to take the characters to the end of their journey, but it also doesn't feel done because the readers haven't really had it yet. And so I think I haven't had as much sadness as I probably will feel after the book's been out for a couple of months.
So where we left off, Kasha has been put back into the society by the Rising, and Kai is also with the Rising. And there was that one secret that Kasha didn't know about Xander.
Yes. Yeah, she didn't know that he was part of the Rising. And so she has to find that out pretty quickly in the third book.
And it's interesting how you made him one of the narrators this time.
I knew from the beginning of the series that if I was lucky enough to write more than just one book, we would bring the two boys' points of view into the story. And so I always kind of anticipated that book three would be the one where we finally got to hear from Xander. So to write his voice was something I'd been looking forward to doing for quite a while.
I like how you built upon it, how in the first book in Matched, it was just Kasha, then in Crossed, it was Kasha and Kai, and now we have all three of them. And there is that, I think it's less of a love triangle, but more of, as the story progresses, we see the characters grow, and so the narrators are growing as well.
Yeah, it felt like, although it's Kasha's story, certainly over the whole story arc, it was time for Xander's book to take place. And we've seen Kasha grow in book one and two and three, but then Kai, we had his story in two. And so it felt like a lot of the journey that took place in three was Xander's journey.
We are focusing on the red pill this time, and the red pill makes people forget. In the first one, we thought it made them die, and there was a lot of people were so scared of that red pill, but when they take it, they have no idea that's what it did to them, except Kasha remembers, and she has a way to make herself remember.
Yeah, I felt like she, at some point, would need to know, and I felt like it needed to come fairly early on, that reveal in book three, if the red pill really did work on her or not, because she's not certain at the end of book two. And so it seemed natural that, being smart, she would figure out a way to sort of clue herself in if she did take it and it did work. And I thought a lot of other people probably would have done the same thing, sort of lending a feeling of, so who knows what, to the third book, who's been kind of keeping track, even if they couldn't remember what they forgot, who knows that they have forgotten things.
And her grandfather plays such a large role in this book, even though he did die in the first one, but he knew to leave her clues and the sense of what was going on with the Rising.
Yeah, I felt that he was an important part at the beginning of the journey, and he would be an important part at the end. And there were things that I set up in the first book that we finally got to see the execution of in book three, and that was really satisfying. And probably one of the most satisfying parts of that was having grandfather's sort of role in what's happened with her be revealed and be complete.
And there were other characters that we got to learn more about and revisit again in this book, and Indy and Hunter and Eli, we get to meet them all again. So I'm wondering, in the process of writing the three books, how is it for you to pick up new characters, bring them along from the second book to the third, but then also decide that I want to bring new characters to the readers in this third book. For me, it seems so hard to be able to create a character and let it go so soon.
It is, and I think I was kind of trying to show what life is like. There are always new important people coming in, and you don't always keep track of or spend every day with the people who have been important in the past, but they certainly inform who you are as a person and matter to you. And so in book three, I was hoping to bring back some of the characters in one that we hadn't seen a lot of in two, namely Cassia's family, her parents. But it was also important that the plot not feel contrived, that we didn't feel like we were circling back to gather these people up from the first two books unnecessarily. And so I sort of just wrote the story and then saw who came back, who still had a part to play, and who naturally would have been where Cassia, Kaya, and Xander were going. And I was happy that some of those characters felt like they would be in the rebellion or escaping or doing these things, that their paths would at least cross again with the main three characters.
Was it hard for you to have the three characters so separated in this novel? I mean, Kai and Cassia are always trying to find their way to each other, but it's just not possible due to where they have been placed by the Rising. And then Xander, I mean, he obviously wonders where they are, and it takes him a little bit of time before any of them come together.
That was difficult, but it also would have been more difficult to write without them apart, in that I felt like they each had a very distinct role to play within the larger plot and within the rebellion. And so they needed to be in the places where they begin the novel. But the coming together, of course, is the crux of the whole book and the whole series, not just physically, but emotionally. And can all three of them work together to solve this massive problem that's been presented them? And that's sort of the crux of the story. Can they do that? And so it felt wrong for them to be not having to come together. That felt kind of forced. It felt like they would be in three different places and need to assemble both physically and emotionally.
And this problem that arises, a plague has come. And it's interesting how the different characters who have been alive longer and the archivists say, well, it's not the first time a plague has come to and ravaged humanity.
That was something that I knew we would do pretty early on in the series, that there would be an illness that would, it is kind of the thing that either brings humanity together or drives them apart, just because of the nature of a plague. It's frightening to think that you could contract a disease from other people, but it's also when you sort of need to pool your resources to save everyone. And I think that was brought more to my attention back when we had that rather small but somewhat serious swine flu scare back in 2009, I believe. And as a mother, I was thinking a lot about my kids, and there's always these big debates about immunization or no immunization. And we live in a really luxurious society where plagues are not something that we worry about every year or two. And so I was thinking about that. What if we, or as a society in the book, had become so complacent that when an illness happened, we had no idea of how to deal with it? Right now, we still do, thanks to, you know, the CDC and very smart scientists. But I thought, what if the general populace had no exposure to illness? How would they panic? How would they react? And that was something that was really important to book three, plot-wise, again, and then again for these characters to sort of stand up and actually do something for a change instead of being really lucky, which they had been certainly in book two. They'd had to do a lot more in book three. That's when everything comes to a head, and they see if they've really grown enough in book two to accomplish what they have to accomplish.
And we really see Xander grow in this book, and he is a medic, and he's working with the plague patients, and he's so caring. All of these other characters that come in and out of the care center or the makeshift hospital, and oh man, there's just something so sweet and kind about him, and he's just so smart. We see him really blossom for the first time.
Oh, good. I'm glad that you liked him, because I quite did. And I felt that an interesting thing about literature is often bad people are very interesting, and they are. I mean, I agree. But I think good people, maybe because I'm not a particularly good person, I find good people very fascinating. I happen to be married to a really good man who is kind of the kind of person that even if the ship was sinking, would do the right thing and put everyone else on the lifeboat, and that's just the way he is. And sometimes I think that gets overlooked a little bit in literature or in heroism. We like to see people overcome, but what if people are already good and just keep being good? And I think that actually is very interesting and a conscious decision that they're making that I wanted to explore a little bit with the character of Xander, even though sometimes it's not as shiny as someone who has a big redemption story. It was interesting for me to write that.
See, he was a bright spot. I was always looking forward to seeing his part of the story, what he would do next, because you're wondering, will he break? Will he end up being so angry at Kasha and Kai or just feel so brokenhearted that he will just turn on them or turn on somebody else that he's come into contact with?
Yeah, I wondered about him too, which sounds silly, but as an author, you do get surprised sometimes. And I wondered if he would break and who he would betray or if someone would suffer because of a decision that he made. But it became apparent as the story went on that if that happened, the person who would pay the price would be himself. He would probably break that way. And that's hard to write and hard to witness, I think, with people who are good people, that often it is themselves who will pay the price for doing what's the right thing. And that was a little bit traumatic to write, not knowing which way he would fall, but kind of thinking that would be what would happen if something did break.
Xander gets to leave the cities with the Rising, and he gets to see what's happening outside and actually has a chance to use the culmination of everything that he has learned and experienced, and he's able to really shine, if that makes sense to you.
That's wonderful to hear that you felt that happened with him. I was certainly hoping that would come through, because I think in book one and two, he's sort of handsome and charismatic, and you don't know how much is going on under the surface. I hope to hint that there was quite a bit. But yeah, book three was sort of his chance to show, I'm not just a handsome, you know, surface smart guy. I have a little bit of substance here, and I can use it when it matters.
On the other side, you have Kai, who does have his faults. We all know he is not Xander by any means, and Indy, who they met in book two, who was at one of the work camps with Kasha. We see their dynamic start to change in the sense that they're there for each other. They're each other's crutches while everything is changing around them.
Yeah, those two characters, I think, have a really interesting relationship where they are enough alike that they completely understand what makes the other tick. And that's a sort of sympathetic, empathetic relationship that you don't find very often in life, but when you do, it's as striking as falling in love almost. And so I did want to bring that out a little bit. I felt from book two on that there was an understanding between those two that, while not romantic in nature, at least for Kai, mattered and was important to the plot as well.
And Kasha feels a close relationship with Indy because they did escape together.
Yeah, and she took a long journey with Indy as well. And Indy's kind of an interesting person in that she's always out for number one, but she does the right thing too, even though she sort of doesn't think she does or doesn't care that she does. She does do the right thing. And she got Kasha through a really difficult time in book two in the canyons, and there's always something about someone who goes through a journey like that with you. There's a loyalty there that sometimes you can't let go of even when you want to, and I think Kasha feels that loyalty to Indy and vice versa.
And throughout all three novels, people are looking for the pilot, the alternative to the society, and somebody who is going to lead the Rising and the rebellion against the society. And in this book, we finally get to meet him or her.
Yeah, we get to meet the person that everyone thinks of as the pilot. And then I think one of the important points of the novel is that actually our three main characters in their own way are also the pilot. And so there's no more passing of the buck here. There's no more waiting for someone else to come and save you. even though that person still exists and is trying really hard to do what their job is, there's some ambiguity about, is that person doing the right thing? And so I liked the idea of bringing out that, well, you can hope for someone that's a wonderful leader. In the end, it's often a personal choice to step up and take your place as a leader as well.
To make your own destiny.
Right, exactly.
Well, the name of the book is Reached, and it is the final in the Match trilogy. Ali, it has been such a pleasure speaking with you again.
Oh, Katie, thank you so much. I have just enjoyed our conversations deeply.
Again, the name of the book is Reached, the final in the Match trilogy. It is published by Dutton. You are listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.